Welcome to the Danny Palmer Show. Does it sound cool if I say it like that?
Oh, you must really think you're something. You must think you're getting some pussy tonight, mister. Well, guess what? My legs are staying closed because you're an asshole.
I'm not an asshole, baby. I love you so much.
You don't love me. You're just watching your stupid sports game, looking at your stupid phone.
What is going on? Just making up a random fight with a pretend girl? That's how you start your podcast, Danny? This is your path to fame and glory? Who's to say? Who's to really fucking say? Half the time I'm like, dude, I'm going to fucking stop doing this goddamn podcast. What, I'm on like 308 episodes or something like that? It's been going on for over 3 years. It's like a different format than what it once was. And I'm like, no, I can't. I can't quit it. I can't quit you. I can't quit you, Jake. I mean, you know, the projected listeners for the next episode is higher than it's ever been. And that's without having a podcast partner, and I'm not even really doing interviews that much anymore. Maybe the people just want to hear me rant and talk about inspiring things and then say fuck like 6 times and do a fake girl voice. That's what society is clamoring for. What's up, you Johns? Welcome to the vainly titled Danny Palmer Show. I've collected a series of observations and things that I thought were interesting from the week, as I often do. Now, listen, I like to watch 60 Minutes. There's nothing wrong with that. Oh, you watch 60 Minutes, dude? You're old. Fuck you, dude. Okay? There's nothing old about wanting to learn, you know? 60 Minutes puts on some of the best fucking interviews and, like, in-depth shit. Like, this past week, I haven't even watched yet. It's, like, about sperm whales and, like, an expose. Apparently, the Mormon church is just spending all their money on just like making themselves richer and like financing a mall and an insurance company. Like, they could be doing so much good in the world, and no, they're just not. Just the rich people have their money and they just want more of their money. Like, this guy that used to run the Mormon church, this guy used to work on Wall Street, went to run like the Mormon wealth fund or whatever. Because he was like, oh, instead of just being on Wall Street and helping some really rich guys get a little bit richer, maybe I could do some good in the world. Nope. Underwriting a mall and a life insurance company. It's like, come on, man. You're fucking fake underwear shit, you know? Now, look, I've used to work with this guy who was Mormon back in Atlanta. And he was a really nice guy. He was very helpful to me when I got laid off. Helped me with my resume. Very supportive. He's kind. He's a nice person. I'm sure there's plenty of nice Mormons. Like, these people at the top get corrupt, and then does anybody give a fuck about what I think about the goddamn Mormon church, bro?
Just do your podcast. Do your little fake inspiring. It's not a fake inspiring. It's the actual things, okay?
Another thing, I don't know why I'm talking in such an agitated manner for literally no reason, dude.
Yeah, dude.
People kept asking me, I'm derailing here for a second, but I went to Portugal a week ago, and people keep asking me, so what's your favorite thing? What's your favorite thing about Lisbon? What's your favorite Lisboa, as they say there? What's your favorite thing about Porto? I don't really have a favorite thing, dude. I just like to be in a place, you know? And look, I missed some of the tourist stuff, like going on this like river boat ride or something and like, you know, doing the things you're supposed to do to just go on runs. Going on runs, listening to music that you like in a place that you're not familiar with, I just think back on those 3 runs that I did in Porto. It was like my favorite, and this one run that I did in Lisbon. To me, those are the best times of the whole trip, besides maybe just getting completely hammered. It's weird that some of the bar closing times just vary. Like, in New York, it's like, okay, 4 o'clock. Some bars choose to close earlier, but all bars have to close by 4. In Lisbon, it's like, no rhyme or reason. This bar completely closed. Get the fuck out. This other bar, completely jam-packed, live music. People are dancing until 5 a.m. And Lisbon, I think this happened in Porto too. They're always like ready to break out into this like electric slide type of dance. It's like when you're watching people dance at like a dancey spot. How many times can I say the word dance in that sentence? They're like always ready. Like, is this thing about to break out? Is the electric slide thing? I hate when the electric slide breaks out at a wedding. Or in fucking Portugal. It's like, dude, I don't know how to do this, you know? I'm just going to stand on the side. You guys go right ahead. I'm sure that some gay guy is going to steal my girl with his dance skills. That happened to me once in Atlanta. That was fun. I went to a gay bar in Atlanta. I think it was Mary's. I'm not a good dancer, you know? I can, like, move my legs a little bit or whatever. I just try to distract people by using my arms a lot. So this gay guy, like, took my girlfriend, didn't take my girlfriend, started dancing with her, and like, I could tell that he's trying to like show me up, you know? He like gave me this like glare when he finished dancing with her. I'm like, okay, dude, you got me beat. Your dance skills are better than mine, but you're not into women, so I'm not really sure why you needed to make me look bad in front of my girl, dude.
Not chill, bro.
All right. That's the end of that story. What was my story here? Oh, yeah. 60 minutes. Okay. By the way, I'm not even hitting pause. This is just straight, unadulterated content about an adulterer. Just kidding. I'm not married. All right. So one of the stories he had in 60 minutes was about Australian rules football. ARF. Is that it? ARF. Yeah. Something like that. Australian Football League. I don't fucking know. Dude, Australian football, even if you're not a sports fan, just type in Australian rules football greatest hits on YouTube and watch the first minute of that first video. It's completely insane. These guys have no pads. There are basically no rules. You're just supposed to kick the ball through this field goal thing in this giant expanse of a field. And you can just sucker punch each other and knee each other in the head and use your knee to climb up on somebody's back and just pummel people. And then, you know, that's fun for the fans to watch, and it's great for the highlight clips. And then, you know, maybe this guy's going to rob a bank or kill six people in 3 years because of his CTE, but that's not our concern today. Our concern is, let's build this fucking highlight reel. Remember back in the day, they used to have, like, the NFL's greatest hits, and it was just this, like, oh, my God, dude, that guy got his clock cleaned. And then they're like, you guys. The movie Concussion with Will Smith came out. Aaron Hernandez killed people. We can't be glorifying these giant hits anymore. And it's like, oh, cool. So, you know, besides the thousands of men that don't have proper health insurance dealing with the repercussions of that, it was fun before we knew the facts, you know? Like, I'm watching this movie, Air. Sorry, I keep talking about sports, but it's just, it's still broadly relevant as a societal topic, I feel. But it's like on Amazon Prime, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, and it's all this, like, you know, they go overboard. In fact, I would say they play too many 90s songs. Like, okay, dude, we get that this is set in the 90s. But there's definitely like this sense of nostalgia, you know, for back when we just knew a lot less about the dangers of people just annihilating each other in the head. I mean, it's not even that surprising of a fact that just clocking someone in the head repeatedly could lead to long-term brain damage and serious societal problems down the road. But in the 90s, we're like, dude, just fuck it, bro. Michael Jackson's cool. You can kick the shit out of each other. Some third example, I can't, that's not coming to my head right now. All that shit was fine back then. You can eat, drink, have all the sugar you want. It's fucking fine. Just party. Drinking and driving. Like in Dazed and Confused. I know that's set in the 70s, but there's that great scene when the girl goes into the liquor store and she's clearly pregnant and just ordering a carton of cigs and a handle of Jack. It's like, well, that's the way things go, and that's how our society is. Like, it's kind of, you know, there's just, I have this nostalgia for like when things were bad. Sort of. I know a lot of things were bad. Don't judge me. Everybody's judging you. You piece of shit. You're 47 and bald, living in a glorified studio apartment. So? What am I supposed to do? Oh, you have to get married and have kids to be valid to society? Yeah, pretty much. All right. Well, I feel that way as well. I don't know. Anyway, this 60 Minutes story about the American Football League. This guy, Mason Cox, he played college basketball at Oklahoma State. He played with Marcus Smart, who was on the Boston Celtics. And, you know, he wasn't that good. This big, tall guy wasn't that great. And then he was in L.A., and I don't know what happened exactly, but somebody, like, hit him up to, like, try out for Australian rules football. He's like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And he just goes over there. This guy's enormous. He's, like, 6'10". And he didn't even understand the rules. They put him in the pros before he understood all the rules of the game. Like, during the interview, they're like, what is the football made of? And he's like, it's pigskin. And they were like, no, it's not. It's cowskin. And then it's like, actually, it's... Oh, I fucked that up, dude. He got the skin wrong, dude. You know? But he doesn't even know what the ball's made of. And then he just turned to this giant star. And the point of the story, which I'm getting to rapidly, don't you fucking worry. He becomes like the biggest star in Australian rules football. He's the only American over there playing it. And he's like the best one. Didn't even know what it was. His life took this dramatically bizarre turn of events or circumstances because he just tried to do something he didn't even know existed and he turned out to be great at it. And so at the very end, he says, I'm going to look back and say, I've had the most ridiculous life you could possibly think of that makes no sense. And I took it by the horns and I made the most of it. I mean, I think those are inspiring words. You know, I'm just shitting on myself for being, you know, in my 40s and single and being a comic in New York. If it's like, hey, you know, not the most improbable path to move to New York in your 30s, but it fucking did it. And there's a million different types of improbable paths in life that could lead. And you know what? I mean, this guy was like the biggest. He's like the biggest star in this like Australian league thing. But that's just an example of one particular path. You don't have to be the biggest star. You don't have to play sports. You could be a ballerina. You could be a fucking, you could deliver newspapers. You could just do something that challenges convention of what society, you think society expects you to do and turn and make your own success. You know, that was another big lesson that I learned. I feel like I thought that society wanted me to do X and Y. You went to college, you went to grad school, you're supposed to make all this money, you're supposed to become a vice president. No one ever said, Danny, you should do these things. I just assumed that people wanted me to do those things, but no one ever actually said that to me. I guess there were some broader social expectations, but no one said it directly. Thus, I put these expectations on myself that I didn't need to. And you just got to kind of free yourself from that and live the life that you want to live. And maybe I'm a narcissistic piece of shit. It's been stated, but I don't know. I don't think so. I like people. I care about my friends and family. Okay. Next topic, Danny. Here we go. Things are fine. Dude, chicks love teaching preschool, you know, like, mostly women teach preschool, and it's great. It's like an honorable, noble profession. Well, whenever I meet a girl that's like, I teach preschool, I'm like, yeah, I know. Women are better than men. You're doing better things than I am. I don't know why I said that. Should I delete this? Am I in trouble? How does society work? I was watching a couple movies on the plane to and from Portugal. I've noticed this common theme in movies. I feel like a lot of movies, they throw you into the deep end in the first, like, 5 minutes. And I think part of it is just to make sure that you're paying attention. You know what I mean? Like they never say like, I mean, sometimes they start you from scratch and explain, maybe that there's a narrator voiceover to explain the outline of the plot and who the characters are. But usually what happens is there's like a family like running around preparing dinner and you don't even understand who's related to who. And they're referencing things that are like something you would hear in the middle, like dropping you into the middle of an ongoing family that you've never met before, and it doesn't even exist. And it's like, how the fuck am I supposed to catch up? And then you do usually catch up, but those first 5 minutes are maddening. It's like, guys, can we just get a little bit more context? But I think it's like a device to make sure you're paying attention. That's my theory. Does anybody care? I think some people might care about that. You don't know shit about shit. All right, honey, you can be a little bit nicer. You're right, I should try. Here's a little quote. I always talk about my favorite blog, the Farnham Street blog. It's on the internet. Just go to Farnham Street blog or like website. It's great. Sunday newsletter. Regular listeners of the pod know I love it. Farnham Street is the street in Omaha where Berkshire Hathaway is based. And the dude that started this blog loves Warren Buffett. Anyway, there was a quote from their newsletter about from Dax Shepard. I like this quote. He goes, they're paying me a ton of money. People recognize me at the airport. I'm doing everything I dreamt of doing for 30 years. It all came true. And I am the least happy I have ever been in my life. And I have every single thing on paper that I wanted. I feel grateful for this because I was able to say something much more profound is broken. I think a lot of us proceed through life thinking we would be happy if, we would have self-esteem if. And those are illusions most people don't get to find out are illusions. See? That kind of like dovetails into just what I was saying. Without, I didn't even mean to do that. You know, it's like, oh, you're supposed to do this thing. Having X will make you happy. No, nothing matters, dude. Like, think back on like, I mean, things matter, but I think what matters is what you decide matters, you know? You create the value. I don't think you need this like God in the sky, this Mormon God in the sky to give you purpose and value. Like, think back in like Egyptian societies. Like, I went to Barcelona and then they have the Roman ruins. And you can walk through and look down and see these actual like towns, and you can like rich people had like brandy stills in their homes. You can see where the brandy stills were. You can see the pathways between the houses. And I, you know, I'm sure those were like the rich people in that society. Would you know any of the people's names? They don't have any of the people's names written even down on a placard somewhere. And even if they did, would you read the fucking placard? Who cares? No. Like, it all goes away for all generations, for all societies. And yet we're like, oh, I have to do this thing, or else my peers, who are also going to be dead for eternity, will judge me. And I'm sure people back then thought the same thing. Dude, my dishwasher just stopped going, so now I don't have to talk quite as loud. So my neighbors don't think I'm completely insane. Well, they haven't complained about me yet, so that's good. That's a change from the last apartment. Anywho. And plus, I just like reading stuff like that from like rich and famous people like Dax Shepard, you know? It's like, I really value thinking through what is important to, not to me, but to us, to you and I, the listener, to people in society. What's important to us now during this limited time, the sliver of fucking time that we have after the eternity that we didn't exist and before the eternity that we won't exist again? What is important to you right fucking now? That's what's key, you know? And maybe I should become a preschool teacher or join Big Brothers, you know? Maybe I should do more things for other people. Does comedy count, though? I feel like comedy counts, dude. I feel like stand-up comedy counts because you're making people happy, right? Is that something? Just because I get the attention? And, you know, girls look at you when you're talking on stage. It's neat. It's neat when girls look at you when you're talking on stage. Hi, girls. That's stupid. All right. I'll delete that. No, I won't. I was listening to this girl talking a podcast, and she does solo pods, and she said that she was doing this one and she was trying to get it to 45 minutes and was just like thinking up random things to talk about to get to 45 minutes. And I'm like, dude, I never get to 45 fucking minutes, bro. First of all, the free trial. Oh, no, wait, I could do 45 on if I'm just recording it myself and not doing an interview on Zoom, where the free trial limits you to 40 minutes. But yeah, I just have like things that I write down that I think are interesting or funny or inspiring. And then I just go through those. And then if there's some like tangents in between the things that I wrote down, like I did some tangents earlier, that's great. I'll do it. But then as soon as I've made it through my list of things, the podcast is over. I'm not just going to sit around and shoot the shit, dude. Fuck that. Let's call it a day. I also like this. I'll wrap with this quote from Muhammad Ali. And then next week as a teaser, I'll talk about the concept of Ubuntu, U-B-U-N-T-U. It's a great concept. The late Archbishop Desmond Tutu articulated it well. I saw it in this like inspiring thing on Netflix called something about leadership or something, where Doc Rivers is the first episode. I forget what it's called. I'll talk about it next week. Anyway, this is the quote from Muhammad Ali to wrap. Impossible. You might have heard this before, but it's worth hearing again. Impossible is just a big word thrown around by small men who find it easier to live in the world they've been given than to explore the power they have to change it. Impossible is not a fact. It's an opinion. It's possible. Impossible is not a declaration. It's a dare. Impossible is potential. Impossible is temporary. Impossible is nothing. Guy was a great man, dude, you know? And I think that you can apply the shit I was just talking about to that too. Oh, it's impossible to not live your life according to what you think society wants you to do. No, it's not. You can do whatever the fuck you want to do, dude. As long as you pay your light bill. Can't pay your light bill, there's going to be some serious problems. All right. That was a little bit of a dark note. Sorry about that. Hope that's not offensive in some way. And, you know, come out to Black Cat LES every Friday, 9 o'clock, 172 Rivington, New York City. The show Ryan Nicholas and I have been running for 5 years in New York. I would argue it's the longest running independent show in New York. I would argue that, you know? Then we got shows in New York Comedy Club all weekend. Next Thursday, I'm opening for my good friend Giulio Gallerati at Laugh Boston. A bunch of tickets have been sold. That's going to be sick. So that's fun. And then, you know, dates in June. Fucking, what's that town called? Raleigh. And then Nashville, ATL, Georgia. Whoever we do, fow ya. That's it, kid. That's a fucking wrap, dude. Thanks for listening to The Danny Palmer Show. Follow me on Instagram, Danny Palmer NYC. Hit me up. No one ever does. And have a great fucking...